that you and I haven't been able to.
Oh, it's okay. We got you.
I know.
That's all that counts.
Don't be late for me anymore. I'll kill you.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
You're not really going to kill me, are you? I hope not. Because you wrote such a caring book, I would hate to see you killing me.
Wait a minute. We have a very bad phone system here in Bel Air. You'll have to talk a little slowly, or I don't get it. It blurs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Slow down.
We have a good system here in Boston. I can hear everything you're saying clearly.
Well, we can't hear people coming in. Well, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know what you're going to have to do?
What?
You're going to have to move to Boston.
I've lived in Boston.
Did you like it here?
I'm from Philadelphia. It's the same thing.
Well, not quite.
No, but it's the same, pretty much the same climate. And you get awfully spoiled out here. As soon as we're through, I'm going swimming.
Ah. Yeah, the warm weather is kind of nice, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Now, you were a model growing up, right?
What'd you say?
You broke into the business as a model, right?
I started my career as a model when I was so young, I don't even remember it.
17, you worked as a sculptress?
Yes, I am a sculptress.
Yeah. And you've done
I did a bust of Greta Garbo for MGM years ago. And I made a stone copy of it for the Motion Picture Museum that never went through. And it's just been taken by the Academy of Arts of Motion Picture to put it in their building. They just got it last week.
Hmm. Now, where did you meet...
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was wonderful. I used to have a studio at the Hotel Royalton before they did it over. But it used to be a nice old-fashioned hotel. And... there was a producer living down the hall named Herman Levin, who was living there in abject poverty and later on became the producer of My Fair Lady, The Heart of a Fool, big producer, but at the time he was broke. And in my studio, I had turned the bathroom into a kitchen, and I was the only one who could cook. There was no room service. He called and said, "I think I have the flu. Can you make me some soup?" So I opened a can, put it in a bowl, brought it to his room, knocked on the door, and it was answered by the best-looking man with long eyelashes and a great smile. I was gone, and I said the magic words, "Here's the soup," and I sashayed down the hall in a cloud of plaster dust. I went back to my room and continued my work as a sculptor, hoping that he'd be the one to bring back the bowl, and he was. And we talked all night. And then when he left, and I leaned against the door to keep from falling over. And there was a little knock on the door, and I opened it, and he leaned in and he sang, "I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie." And then he leaned in and kissed me. And that was the beginning.
Huh. That's a nice story.
True story. And
it
got better and better. It's true that there is such a thing as love at first sight. It gets better and better and better, but you have to have friendship, too.
And you folks were best friends?
Best friends, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you worked together on the Jim Backus show?
Worked together on lots of things.
Yeah. And, you know, America, Jim Backus was one of the most beloved individuals in this country.
I know that.
From his roles in movies to Gilligan's Island to Mr. Magoo. Everybody just loved Jim Backus.
Well, I know that because when he was sick, the fan mail was so sensational. They were just wonderful to him. They sent all kinds of books that keep your chin up and maybe psychological, maybe there's nothing wrong. They were wonderful. Always. They still are.
One of the most difficult things, though, is seeing a loved one kind of fall apart in front of your eyes and having to care for them. And you've written a book called Care for the Caretaker from Jasper Publications. Tell us why you put that together.
How I put it together?
No, why?
Oh, I had to tell the story because I wanted to help other people. When they said, see, this, lots of illnesses are hard to diagnose, and they don't diagnose Parkinson's. They can only evaluate it. And he was very weird. Funny little things like a strange gait. And he couldn't sit up in bed. He couldn't roll over in bed. Really weird. And they couldn't diagnose it. And finally, one day they said, we think he has Parkinson's disease. Well, I never heard of Parkinson's. I didn't know what it was. And here I was faced with this and no place to go, because all they have are these academic books that are boring, give you a lot of information you don't need. And I thought, I'm going to sit down and tell the truth, what happened to me and how I simplified it and how I took care of him for 11 years all by myself. And it wasn't all that tough. It was wonderful. It was exhausting. I was only 70 when it started. I'm 88 now.
Hmm.
So I did this all through that era.
Did you find that that Jim was appreciative and aware of what you were doing for him?
Oh, yes, of course, of course. We only had one snit. Much later on, about the 10th year or something, the doctor said if I didn't get some time off to be by myself 2 or 3 hours a day, I was going to collapse. So we got a man who came in 3 days a week, a couple of hours. And they used to talk sports. They'd look at all the sporting events that bored me. And I got jealous. And I thought, he doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't need me anymore. But that's not true. After a while, they catch on. They know. They understand. And they appreciate it.
Mm.
And they know. They really know.
You were an actress yourself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Appeared in many films and TV shows. I did not know one thing about you, and I'm pleased to find out about it. We all know that Jim Backus was Mr. Magoo. What many people don't know is that you were a lot of the female voices on that show, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I couldn't do young voices, children's voices, but I did a lot of them. In fact, two of them won the award. I was on one of them, and that's the one about where he thinks he's in a movie theater or something, and he's really standing on the wing of an airplane. Anyway, the voice of the stewardess is me.
Hmm. Yeah, that was nominated for won Academy Awards, right?
Two.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it?
That must have been quite a thrill.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's done so many wonderful things. He was a great dramatic actor.
He's
marvelous at Jimmy Jean's father in Rebel Without a Cause. And very funny, really wonderfully funny, hysterically so, in Mad World.
Mm-hmm. But I always loved him as Thurston Howell III.
Well, that's another story.
That was...
That's television. He also played Patty Duke's father in a wonderful movie called Billy, a serious movie. He's marvelous in that.
Yeah.
It's shown occasionally. Look at it when it is. You'll love it.
I will. Do you take the time to watch his movies and old shows all the time to kind of keep
him? I
want to
tell you something. You don't know how lucky I am. When I miss him too much and I go out of my mind, I can put on not only one of his movies, I can put something that we did together on television.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I think everybody should take movies of the people in the family so that they have a record. It's easy enough to do. Rent a camera and do it.
Well, it's true. You know, it's interesting. My dad died almost 20 years ago, and last year, a friend of our family found an old movie where he was in it for about 2 seconds, but it meant so much when they gave me a video dub of that.
Of course, and it means more when you hear their voice.
Exactly.
It's something very personal about a voice. You must remember to do that, and I hope everybody listening will remember that.
Now, what is the most difficult thing about taking care of someone that you love, that you see physically or mentally falling apart?
Trying to keep their spirits up while yours are flagging. I used to have to smile and pretend everything was wonderful, and then I would go in the bathroom and put a wash rag down my throat and scream.
Hmm.
I didn't dare cry in front of him. That was the hardest part.
What about the pain situation, when pain gets out of control and... Don't you feel real helpless?
Yeah. You do the best you can.
Yeah. I mean, what really can you do?
You can comfort them to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
I can't give anybody that kind of advice.
Yeah.
But my book has a lot of the wonderful things for them to know. I mean, simple things. When you're taking care of somebody, for example, I had to give him showers. We couldn't use the bathtub because I couldn't get him out. Get him in and I'd be stuck. So when he had a shower, he was a big guy, 6 feet tall, covered with soap and slippery. And I had handles put inside the shower, but they get slippery.
Right.
So I put the walker in there, and it's still in there, and it's the greatest thing in the world to remember. Put the walker in the shower.
Hmm.
That's one thing I learned. Another thing, simple thing, is we have a two-story house. And up and downstairs, terrified of them, they do all sick people. I walk downstairs in front of him backwards and upstairs behind him forward. And that way I could balance him and balance myself.
I'm talking to you, Henny Backus. Her book is called Care for the Caretaker, and it's published by Jasper Publications. It's a small paperback packed with lots of information and some wonderful warmth. I think the warmth comes right through.
You think what?
The warmth comes right through.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was plenty of warmth, I'll tell you, it's still here.
Yeah.
I miss him terribly.
I bet you do. How long were you with him?
Oh, God. I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you a cute story. Long before the sexual revolution, I was on Merv Griffin's one night. He had a young, hip audience. And Merv said, Henny, how long were you married to Jimmy? And I said, legally or illegally? I said, we lived together for 2 years before we were married. And there was a gasp from this young audience. Then I got a hand, and then I got a standing ovation. And a kid in the back said, you mean they did that in the olden days? And I said, yeah, they've been doing that since time immemorial. I'm out of mind.
Did you folks have any children?
No.
No children?
No. Mm.
So it's...
That was by choice. Not everybody should have children.
No, not at all. In fact, you folks were very, very busy. And... Well, a lot of times people are busy and they still have kids and the kids get ignored, so better to make a choice.
People used to be brainwashed.
Yeah, well, you wrote some great books together, as a matter of fact. One of them I'm trying to think of the name of it because I read it, like Backus Strikes Back, I think it was called.
Oh, the first book was called Rocks on the Roof, and it was about a haunted house we lived in Beverly Hills, which is still haunted or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The second book was called What Are You Doing After the Orgy? And the title sold that. They were both bestsellers, but I'm sure that the title sold that book. People would say, what is that? And pick it up and look at it, read the first line, which was a hook, and then they would buy it. And the third book was Backus Strikes Back about his illness.
Yeah.
Funny book about that.
I actually read that. It was kind of funny.
And the fourth book was Forgive Us Our Digressions, which is a terrible title. It wasn't our title. Our title was Up the Golden Years, and the publisher said, oh, that's too geriatric, and they changed it. And we would go on shows and forget what the title was because it was so hard to remember. I can't think of it now. Forgive us our digressions. I remember we were on Johnny Carson one night, and he said, and the new book is called, and we both looked at each other and said, we don't know. He had to hold it up and find out what it was called. Clever publishing, don't you think?
That's funny. Well, the book is called Care for the Caretaker. Henny Backus.
That's funny.
Henny Backus is the author, the widow of Jim Backus, the beloved individual we all love. And you can read a little bit about him and about her. Again, Care for the Caretaker. And if you have a situation at home like this, this book might help you. It's published by Jasper Publications out of Calabasas, California. Thank you so much for coming on, Henny.
Well, how wonderful. When will this appear?
It'll be on tonight.
Do you have an outlet in Los Angeles?
It'll be on the internet at pmpnetwork.com tonight.
Do you feel like sending me a copy?
I don't know if we can do that, but I can see.
After it appears.
Because it is on the net. Because you can just listen to it on there. But if you don't have internet access, it's also on the radio here in Boston. But we'll see what we can do. If I can get you a copy, I'll have him mailed to you.
I really would love it. I would love it.
Okay.
I want to have it more than once.
We'll try to do that.
Thank you. It was very nice talking to you, Mark.
Henny, it was nice talking to you, too. I'm glad that you eventually could hear me. And it's a pleasure talking to you. You're a nice woman.
What's the weather like up there now?
It's actually beautiful. It's about 65 degrees here.
Give my love to everybody up there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy California.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.